Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, welcome to Speaking with Influence. I'm Deborah Simpson, and today my guest is Heather Conklin, founder of Spot Strategies. Spot Strategies was founded to provide key information to resources to local political engagement and grassroots efforts within Congressional District California 49. As we began sharing our resources, Heather quickly realized that the information was relevant far beyond simply the 49th District and has broader applications in grassroots movements, campaigns, public policy, and business. Spot Strategies serves to make strategy development and strategic communication clear and accessible. Heather believes in promoting civic engagement for inclusiveness and an understanding of shared humanity to move forward together in a way that's progressive and sustainable in the long term. She holds a master's in political science with an emphasis on research methods from the University of California, Riverside, a master's in public administration from the University of Southern California, and bachelor's in communication from the University of California, Davis. Heather has served as a researcher for various organizations, including private companies, California Department of Justice, UCR Center for Sustainable Urban Development, and a research team exploring the roles of NGOs and indigenous groups in international environmentalism in Brazil. Having conducted research across various policy areas, including healthcare, environmental sustainability, agricultural, law, and education, gives her a unique understanding of key policy issues. Additionally, her experience in public affairs and politics gives her insight into the political process. Heather, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to be interviewing you today.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
I had no idea that you were a Trojan at one time.
I was in between my public school, my University of California stints.
Yes, yes. My brother-in-law is an SC grad, and he had to teach me how to do that victory symbol at the football games. It's quite interesting. I love USC. So, but anyway, we're here today to talk about SPOT. And what I didn't say to the listeners is SPOT is actually an acronym. So it's S-P-O-T. What does that exactly stand for?
So SPOT actually is the acronym for the larger, I guess, approach that we take at Spot Strategies of sustaining pressure over time. So it just beautifully happens to spell SPOT. So it was totally by accident we came up with that. But the idea of sustaining pressure over time is really our core principle that we use. And it really, the idea behind sustaining pressure over time is about creating a focused and coordinated strategy so that all of these different, you know, whether it's groups, whether it's people, are pushing or moving forward together in the same direction. So you're able to actually put really focused pressure on whichever direction you're going, and then being able to maintain that intensity over a period of time so that it is a sustainable effort.
What made you decide to start this?
So actually, it sort of happened organically. I'll be honest, Spot Strategies is about 3 weeks old in terms of its concept. I've been very, very highly engaged with the grassroots efforts here in the Congressional District, California 49. And I just sort of jumped back into my political roots and was working with the different folks that are here working on the grassroots efforts and just sort of providing, education in a way that makes politics accessible for the folks that are either new to being politically engaged and also for people that just aren't as familiar with kind of the ins and the outs of the system and how to get things done, how to communicate effectively with the different, you know, key players at the local level, the district level. And so just providing education, providing, you know, just, you know, hands-on experience. Since I've been there, I've done that. You know, just breaking stuff down into digestible bits of information so that everybody can actually make this a little bit more, you know, again, it's accessible so that people aren't feeling overwhelmed. They're not feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't do this, you know, you know, for more than a week at a time. Mm-hmm. And so that was the idea behind creating Spot Strategies ultimately, is it came out of just my natural educational efforts in working with the grassroots efforts here and the folks here in this district. And so I just thought, well, let's go ahead and actually organize this information a little bit better. And then that way it provides a platform, not just for the folks here locally, but also for folks in neighboring districts and beyond, because ultimately that's the whole goal, is to be able to provide that information in a way that's, you know, it's accessible, it's relevant, and it's digestible, so that everybody who wants to be involved and pay attention to politics and in any way that they can contribute, then they have information to help support that effort, especially as we move forward and especially as things are changing really, really rapidly.
Yes, they're changing really rapidly. I agree with that one. How well do you think that the regular 49th district residents really understand our political structure and what goes on inside not only our California legislature, but also at our national level?
You know, I think it's a real mix. I mean, certainly there are the people that have been, you know, either engaged in politics for a long time, either just as observers or just highly engaged in terms of the news consumption. There are people that obviously have some background in this as well. But I think a lot of folks right now are sort of new to paying attention on a regular, you know, on a regular basis. And so the idea of not just reading the news and just consuming that information, but really being involved in that larger conversation, that I think is certainly something that we're seeing a lot more folks that are coming out that just don't have that background or that level of exposure. So I think that there definitely is a need to kind of bring those resources to the folks, particularly that are new to being engaged. So, I mean, it's a mix. But we're seeing a lot of people that haven't been involved before actually getting involved, which is really, really hard. I think.
Yeah, I haven't seen political interest like this since the late 60s, and I was around for that. I really became very interested in politics during the Watergate era. That's when I had just graduated from high school and I was working, so on my time off, I just somehow got involved in. Back in the early 70s, we didn't have the number of TV stations and specialty stations that we could watch. So there wasn't even a CNN back there. So you were just watching it on ABC, NBC, or CBS. That was pretty much your choices. And that's when I became really interested and started following politics. I got to vote for the first time in the 1976 election, which they had finally opened up voting to 18-year-olds at that point in time. So, yeah, I've been following politics for a long time, and I haven't seen people as engaged since the late 60s as they are right now. So what kind of information does Spot Strategies provide, and why is that different from what other organizations might provide?
So one of the things that we're doing that's a little bit different is that there's a lot of advocacy and lobbying training going around. I know a lot of the grassroots organizations are bringing in folks to provide, you know, advocacy training, lobbying training on how to, you know, communicate and deal with your or interact with your represented electives or your elected officials. But one of the things that, you know, I noticed immediately actually was that a lot of the information still tends to be over, again, for the newly politically engaged citizen, a lot of the information still is pretty technical. It requires a pretty, you know, good understanding of just how the system's organized and sort of the basic ins and outs, or even understanding of why those, like, direct methods of communication with elected representatives are necessary and how they work. And so what Spot Strategies does is really brings that same information, but creates smaller chunks with it and sort of establishes that a clear foundation so that way those more advanced trainings, you know, have some sort of grounding so that if a citizen really has no exposure, they can use the resources that Spot Strategies is providing that really establishes that clear foundation, kind of gets the basics, you know, established first, and then goes into all of those kind of, you know, lobbying and advocacy training concepts about, you know, different ways to interact with your elected officials and why that's important. But really getting the basics down. And the other thing that, you know, we do is try and break stuff down into smaller chunks. So instead of like an hour of advocacy training, we're breaking stuff down into 2 to 3 minute videos, 2 to 3 minute tutorials, kind of trying to keep things so that it's something that, I mean, A, the person can reference back again. So if they forget or they'd like to fill in the gaps on that information or they're, you know, just wanted to go back and reference it, that information is always there. It's always on our website. It's always on our YouTube channel. And then they can go back and reference that. But also it's accessible. It's smaller chunks of time that's required. And it's also just easier to break down sort of core concepts into, again, those digestible bits. That's really what we're focusing on, is keeping stuff really clear and really manageable.
Yes, I can appreciate that when you present something that can be an overwhelming topic. And I think, you know, you're hearing a lot of conversation from a whole variety of people with a whole variety of opinions about what's going on, that breaking it down into digestible chunks kind of helps people avoid overwhelm. So I think that's a great way to do it. I think 2 minute videos are perfect. I love 2 minute videos. Is this one of the ways that you're using speaking as a way to reach out, train these people, and help them understand about how they can get involved with their local representation?
Yes, actually. I'm doing the videos, which, again, as I mentioned, Spot Strategies is fairly new, so we're going to be adding a whole bunch more resources on over the coming weeks. But the videos are one aspect, and then ultimately my goal would be to go and provide that advocacy and lobbying training to citizens, you know, in person, to work with these different advocacy groups, to work with these different grassroots organizations, and really provide that information in person as well, because I think there's a different dynamic there. People can obviously ask questions, and you really get to sort of, you know, get a better feel of sort of what kinds of information and the messages that resonate and the things that are still confusing that maybe I might be able to answer, or again, just sort of reframe for somebody that, again, doesn't have that background in politics. To make it easy, because we want as many people to be involved as possible, and so they have to understand how to get involved, and yes, like you said, not be overwhelmed by the process or the amount of information that they need to learn. So that's ultimately the goal.
Yeah, it's definitely a fascinating time to watch, especially for the younger folks. You're a millennial. I honestly believe we're leaving. I've talked about this before. That we're not leaving the earth in as great a situation as we would like to. And that's my biggest advocacy right now, is for, as you know, the boomers to step aside and move out of politics and let the young people start leading this country, because the earth we're leaving is the earth you guys are going to take over and your children are going to be involved in. I think about my daughter and children she might have, and I think it's really good to be able to help people have those tools. And you mentioned citizen engagement, and I think that's really important, that you bring these facts to people in a way that makes them feel comfortable that they can be part of the dialogue without any inflammatory rhetoric that might make them think twice. I think the most important thing that we can bring right now is engagement. So I understand you have a citizen engagement and representative responsive survey. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
I would love to share that. So this is actually one of our, this is our brand new survey that we just created. It's the Citizen Engagement and Representative Responsiveness Survey. And ultimately, we're looking to assess civic engagement or constituent engagement within selected congressional districts. And also, we're looking to not just assess constituents' engagement, but also the responsiveness of elected officials to their constituents. So we're focusing on just a couple of districts right now, just as a starting point. We're looking at the California 49th District, and also we're looking at the California 50th District, which are both right now focal points, I think, not just here for California, but also on a national level. They're both districts that are sort of in transition right now. And so we're really starting with those because there's a lot of highly motivated, highly engaged people right now that have been interacting with their elected representatives. So we want to really sort of get a handle on that. And our goal ultimately with this survey is to provide nonpartisan information to help support more effective citizen engagement within each congressional district, and also independent information because right now it's sort of there's a lot of people that are reporting, you know, what they've been doing and sharing sort of on, you know, social media, you know, or just in person. But it's kind of a he said, she said situation. So right now our goal is to standardize the collection of that information. So at least there is some sort of consistent information that's available that's not attached necessarily to the district's office or to your member of Congress's office, because that information generally that they collect on which constituents are calling, how many, how often, that's not public information generally. And so we wanted to go ahead and get a handle on that, at least to some degree, and be able to provide that to everybody. So what we're going to be doing with this civic engagement or citizen engagement and representative responsiveness survey is we're actually going to be providing all of the data at the end of the survey period. All of the data will be available for free on our website. And we're also going to be compiling a report of the findings for each district as well. So all of that information will be publicly accessible, completely free, and really there to support the free exchange of information and the idea of helping to support political discourse or democratic discussion, I guess is the non-fancy way of saying that. But we want to engage. We want to let people have that conversation and know what's happening. So that's really our goal. So right now, for any citizens that are in either California 49 or California 50, they can go to our website, and the links to the surveys are right there. It's like 2 minutes or less to take the survey, and it's pretty basic in terms of the questions. It's so if you know, the more folks that we get to take that, the better. Certainly, that you know bolsters our findings and our results that we're collecting. So.
Yeah, and just for the listeners who may not be familiar who our reps are, the 50th Congressional Representative is Duncan Hunter. The 49th Congressional Representative is Daryl Issa. And so so that they can find this survey more, this is a great time for me to ask you how the listeners can get in touch with you and where they can find that survey that they can might be able to take that.
So all of the survey information as well as the rest of our SPOT strategies information is available on our website, which is www.spotstrategies.com. And all of that information, can you guys provide like links to that as well, Deb?
Already linked. Yeah, they are linked.
Perfect.
Both on the blog post and the episode post, yes.
Wonderful. And then we're also on Facebook and Twitter as well. We have a SPOT Strategies community page where we're posting regular updates, things that we're doing here, not just in this district but in others. And really the SPOT Strategies community page on Facebook is also a place to create a forum for this democratic discussion. So it's really there so that we all can engage and have a real intelligent conversation about what's happening, you know, progressive, connecting, and inclusive conversation ultimately. And finally, we're on Twitter as well at Spot Strategies 1.
Excellent. And I know, and I think we all know, watching what happened since the inauguration, the Women's March, and how... to be honest with you, I've not seen anything like that. Even the Vietnam marches, and I saw my fair share of those on television. I was still not quite old enough to be participating in those, but nearly old enough. But I've never seen a movement of women the way we saw the movement of women the day after the inauguration and the March on Washington. So how are you supporting women in this effort?
So my goal in terms of supporting women is really about empowering women to have a voice in politics and to help them feel more comfortable for speaking up for their views, sharing their perspectives, and really being able to advocate for their interest. And I know as women, we have a tremendous amount of things to do. We have, you know, either our work, families, careers, all of the above. So there's a lot of things that we have to juggle, but the idea that civic participation, shouldn't be something that's a trade-off between what you already have to do and things that you'd like to do. So again, for me and Spot Strategies, it's really about making it manageable to participate in public life, so being able to do what you can, but making it work with the rest of your responsibilities as well. So my hope is that will allow more women to participate and to be involved and to share their perspectives and share their views, because women have a very unique perspective on policy just because of our, at this point, the roles that we've had in society. We definitely interact in a very different way with other citizens, but also have a different level of understanding for these different policies and the effects of those. So it's important for women to be able to get involved and to share their voice.
You know, I think one of the outcomes that we're seeing is, I know that Representative Hunter may not be under as much pressure because he has a more solid base that resonates with his message in the 50th. But Daryl Issa seems to be walking a fine line between the southern half of, or the northern half of 49th and the southern half of 49th. And the southern half of 49th, of course, is North San Diego County. The northern part is South Orange County, and there's demographical change between the two halves. How have you been encouraged by both representatives opening up and at least having, I've never ever seen Daryl Issa, I mean the 49th, I've never seen him have a town hall meeting, and I know they were sort of shy about it in the beginning. Are you encouraged that they are moving towards having open town hall meetings and at least ideas can be discussed, or they can at least elaborate a little more what they're going to do with their for their constituents?
That's a great question. So it's sort of, right now I think everyone's still processing, the previous town hall. I was there at the town hall meeting in Oceanside with Daryl Issa. One of the things that I think overall, it is encouraging that they're actually showing up in their districts. And I'm speaking, I'll just speak, about Daryl Issa since again, this is the district that I live in as well. But I think it is encouraging to see Daryl Issa show in his district and to make an effort to, in some way, be present for his constituents. The one thing that, came out of this town hall and just, I think the feeling that a lot of the folks that were there that listened to Daryl Issa when he had his previous town hall was, everyone was kind of left wondering, okay, but what is the outcome? What are you supporting? And so that's still kind of a to be determined. And so I think that it's encouraging for him to show up. But the other question is, okay, let's have real discussion. And I don't know that was actually met at that town hall. It left a lot more questions, and I think left a lot of people very frustrated because there wasn't that openness to discuss or to see other points of view. It was a lot of political talk and, to a certain extent, quite a bit of spin, knowing that his district is in danger or his seat is endangered. So that is, so there's kind of two aspects to that. There's the actual just showing up physically, and then there's the actual engaging with the constituents to really have, that democratic discussion, that dialogue with the citizenry. So, we're sort of working through those issues, I think, right now in this district. We'll see what happens.
Yes. Yeah, I know neither of them have been used to it. I tell you, one of my biggest problems with our political system at the moment is the fact that both sides of the aisles have used the redistricting process to gerrymander our districts. And I'm a huge advocate. I was looking at I was baking cookies last week, and I was looking at the rack that I put my cookies on to cool. And my rack is made of grids. And I want to lay my cookie rack over the state of California and draw squares and just outline the squares. And those would be our representative, our congressional representative districts versus the gerrymandering that goes on. I remember when we moved here 30 plus years ago, how gerrymandered the 50th was. And they went through the redistricting. And it happens across the board in politics, whether it's one side in control or the other side. And I've often thought that putting a grid down and making them more like our neighborhoods would be a much better way than to try to gerrymander the districts to gain a political advantage on one side of the aisle or not. So I'm hoping that one day we'll see that method changing in how we create our districts for voting.
And I think that, you know, definitely there's a movement towards that. In California, quite a few years ago, I think there was an effort to have a nonpartisan board that actually provided or created the districts in California. And, you know, there's been a couple of recent court cases about gerrymandering and whether or not that actually is putting minority voters at a disadvantage. So there's definitely some legal challenges that have come up in the recent couple of, you know, months here too, that really is, I think, opening that conversation back up about, you know, what is the impact of gerrymandering, not just for specific areas, but also for specific groups of people that are inherently disadvantaged to start with. So being able to rebalance that to some degree, or at least make sure that, you know, all of our votes are at least represented to some level, I think is a really important conversation that hopefully will start to be had with all of these things that are happening right now, with these other changes that are coming through. People are just starting to re-examine again what the importance of the voter is, what's the importance at the local level as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All politics is local. I've heard that phrase
before. Absolutely. And that's... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just say, I mean, I 100% agree with you. I mean, all politics is absolutely local, and that's where, you know, focusing and getting everybody involved, you know, at the very, very core of their communities, that's this whole idea of political participation and civic engagement. This is where it starts. This is where the conversation actually starts to happen, and this is ultimately where, you know, all of us, you know, citizens get to know each other and have that exchange of ideas and get to understand each other and really create that sense of shared humanity once again that brings us together. So in the policymaking, you know, process, ultimately it's about understanding. Maybe we don't agree with each other 100% of the time, but we understand a little bit more about what each other's challenges are, and ultimately, you know, where each other's interests lie. So it's less polarizing. So I'd love to see the movement of, you know, people getting back to being civically engaged and participating at the local level, because I think that's going to help, you know, create more moderate policies ultimately.
I would think so, because, you know, I know that my neighbors around me probably aren't of the same political persuasion as I am, but we're neighbors. And, you know, we watch out for each other. It doesn't matter what our politics are. We care about each other. We watch out for each other. We watch out for the kids, the dogs. You know, we're engaged in our neighborhood, and I think that you're absolutely right. If at a neighborhood level we could get together and be able to speak just, you know, without insulting people, and I think that's what you do when you're neighbors. You don't want to upset your neighbor and insult them, so you probably use language that's a little bit more tempered than if you were out. I'm sure some of I've seen it on TV, the town halls can be contentious because people are yelling back and forth with each other. And I know that people, and I know a lot of women, are especially overwhelmed right now with what's going on. So what's one tip that you could recommend for people who are feeling that overwhelmed by what the political situation and climate is in our country at this moment?
So this is a common feeling, and unfortunately I think a lot of people are feeling just overwhelmed by politics and just want to go and just want to walk away and quit. I mean, honestly,
Now that it's taken over Facebook and crept into LinkedIn, I saw a political post on LinkedIn. Everybody piled on and said, no, 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 not at LinkedIn. Take that over to Facebook. So back to your response to my question.
was to say your question certainly just directly leads into my response. I mean, really, I think a great sanity-saving tip, you know, for right now in politics is really just to turn off your technology for a bit, go do something else, whether it's go outside, go be with your family, go be with your friends in real life. Right now, I think a lot of people are, you know, I mean, yeah, seeing it, people are getting overwhelmed by looking at Facebook. They're getting overwhelmed by looking at Twitter. They're getting overwhelmed with the digital space just being infiltrated with people's opinions that maybe aren't necessarily well thought through. So there's a difference between just like people sharing their opinions and feelings, just raw emotion, and then the tempered discussion that comes with, like you said, talking to your neighbors and talking to the people in your community. So those are two very different things. So the best thing you can do is turn off your computer for a bit, turn off your smartphone for a bit, and go do something in real life. You know, all of this will be here when you come back to it, so it's not like you're going to miss anything. And certainly if you feel like you're missing something, you'll catch up. It's, you know, there's so much more happening. So just take a break. It's all okay. Reset, reground, and come back, you know, when you're ready and feeling a little bit more grounded and balanced, I think.
Yeah, and just to reassure listeners, we've lived through these type of politics through the years. We've had disruptors before who have been in office, not only at our local level, but at our national level as well. The country continues to survive. So my thought is take a deep breath. Let's be respectful to each other and understand that we do have different points of views, but the best thing we can do is exactly what you're doing, having people get together at a really local level and be able to have those discussions. So I think, you know, you're on the right track here. I think it would be really great to be able to reach out to some of us who are on the more mature side of life, the over 50 crowd, to be able to reassure them that the world's not going to fall apart because either their guy didn't get in or their guy did get in. And, you know, it's the being kind to each other in all of this. So what is your next step for SPOT strategies?
So my next step for SPOT strategies is really to continue building these resources. I'm working on getting a blog started. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day, so I have to sort of step through these things. Ultimately, my next goal would also be to get more visible and more active in terms of providing these resources in person, you know, for these different grassroots groups that are operating at the district level, as well as sort of helping the Democratic Party understand sort of the grassroots role and how that sort of translates into campaign season, because we can't talk campaigns right now. It's really about this grassroots movement that hopefully is developing right now. It's about supporting the grassroots efforts to create a larger movement that changes our sort of, you know, culture, I think, and our expectations for politics, and then have that translate beautifully into campaign season and be able to have more consistency in terms of the candidates that are coming up to support all of the good progress that the grassroots, you know, has made over time. So that's, I guess that's the long, like the big long picture. And ultimately, you know, just to keep promoting this message of being able to help people sustain pressure over time, because I think, you know, for regardless of the age group, whether it's for those of us that are younger and for those of us that are older as well, you know, we all have to, this is an inclusive process. So we really have to understand each other's perspectives, understand the different effects of policies at different ages, at different stages of life, and be able to somehow coexist and somehow, you know, coordinate enough so that we actually can keep the pressure up over time, because that's really going to be the biggest challenge. And that's going to be the biggest indicator, in my opinion, of whether this grassroots effort ultimately becomes a sustainable movement, is the ability to sustain pressure over time.
Have you reached out to any of the local community political organizations on either side of the aisle?
So I am currently working on that right now. I am just now, I've spoken with the Democratic Party here for California 49, so they know I'm alive and well, and they know what I'm doing here with SPOT Strategies. And then I am reaching out currently to different advocacy groups and different grassroots organizations as well. Right now, the big, you know, challenge, I think, in this district, and I think across the board, is really just the ability to coordinate everybody and to sort of even figure out which grassroots organizations are operating and who's in charge, who's the contact person for that, and then to have them all sort of know that each other are there and be able to communicate and coordinate together. So right now that's been the biggest challenge. And so my role is to facilitate that connection and that coordination to a certain degree. And so I've been involved with that. But I think that that's the first stage for everything, and then moving on from there. But definitely, you know, it's a work in progress. So I have been reaching out, and we'll see where all this goes. This is an ever-evolving process, right?
Yes, yes. And it's an exciting way for you to be able to use your speaking talents to be able to bring people together. And, you know, we could create a much better environment for all of us if we're all inclusive and we're all respectful of each other, even though there may be some points that we don't agree on. Still, having a civil discussion can only benefit us and make it a much brighter future for us. That's my two cents.
Exactly. I agree with your statements, and certainly. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. Well, so let me ask you this. Is there a question that I should have asked you that I did not ask you?
I think you covered a lot of ground. I think, you know, when we talk about the role of spot strategies and sort of what, you know, the frame for spot strategies is and what, you know, ultimately we're seeking to provide with spot strategies, you know, the conversation is, you know, a lot deeper and there's a lot more things. I think we absolutely could have had like a whole nother hour, 2, 3, 4 hours about, you know, just really what the space right now that we're operating in looks like and the challenges with this particular political situation and the differences from what has happened in the past, because this is a totally new challenge. This is something that even for the folks that were part of the civil rights movement, that movement doesn't have a tremendous amount of similarities because of the nature of information. That with social media now and how information spreads and then just the diversity in sources of information. So I think we could totally have had a whole discussion about that and how this idea of getting down and being inclusive and understanding at the local level what the importance is and the different discussions that happen there will help sort of overcome those information deficits, I think, with this current political situation. So, I mean, we could totally have a whole conversation about that. But I think there's a larger context that I'm not sure has quite made it into, you know, regular sources of news media at this point either. So we're sort of approaching a lot of fundamental questions about our democratic values, about our institutions, like all of those things I think fall into this larger conversation about why it's important for civic participation and to reinstitute that as a value.
Yes, I agree completely. I think you might have to start your own podcast.
you know, I just might. It might be faster than a blog. I'm not sure that I'm typing quickly enough. So.
Well, we can talk offline about that one. I'll be your mentor and encourage you to think about a podcast because I think that's a great way to be able to share information. I think that's a good bridging point to be able to bring a two-sided discussion in a way that's pretty easy for everybody. But Heather, it's for me, of course, you know, it's been a delight to talk to you today. I've really enjoyed having you as a guest on Speaking with Influence, and I'm looking forward to following and probably will be there for a lending hand as well if you need any, especially on the technologies and maybe some of the history that a boomer can provide a millennial. So thank you so much for being a guest on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you.
Excellent. And that is our show for today. Again, I'd like to thank Heather Conklin for being our leading lady today. And a special thanks to all our listeners, as we'll be back again next Monday morning for another Women Lead radio show. We're here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. I'm Deborah Simpson, and I am the host of Speaking with Influence. Thank you for spending time with me today and learning more about the art of speaking with influence. Remember the words of Napoleon Hill: think twice before you speak, because your words and influence will plant the seed of either success or failure in the mind of another.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence. the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.